Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamer Tag Radio, episode 1109. This is a podcast, an emergency podcast episode with my co-host. By the way, this is Danny Pena, by the way. With my co-host, Paris Lilly. Paris, what's up, man?
What is going on, man? It's been an interesting morning.
Very interesting morning. Very interesting morning. Now, before we go the conversation and everything, man, I think overall, it's an exciting time to be a gamer. Forget about the exclusives. Forget about none of that stuff, the console war crap, none of that. It's a great time to be a gamer because us, the consumers, we benefit out of all this. We're going to be the true winners because now we're going to have a lot of selections, there's a lot of cool things, man. I don't know. I'm excited for the future. I think this generation is going to be exciting, man. I can't wait. Can't wait. But, you know, I just want to say that very quick before we go straight to the conversation. You know, but you want to say anything before we start the convo?
No, let's just jump right into it, man.
All right. Before we start, head over to GamertagRadio.com. You can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Follow, subscribe, and also post a review. I heard that Apple Podcasts is changing the word subscribe to follow. That's a very interesting thing. Didn't know that. Just read that a few minutes ago. Also, if you would like to be part of our fan mail discussion, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Right, so earlier today, we got to watch the live Bethesda joins Xbox roundtable discussion. It was a lot of fun watching that from start to finish. It was like about an hour and 20 minutes or so, and it was great. P. Hines was there, Phil Spencer, Aaron Greenberg, which our theory was right, Paris. Our theory was right the other day.
I know. It was hilarious. It was the first thing I go, oh. Yep, that's why he was hiding the location, because that's where he went.
Exactly. Yeah, there was other people there. Todd Howard was involved too. And great, I'm going to keep it real, man. Great presentation. And the reason why I loved it so much, Paris, it didn't feel forced or awkward. It seems like everybody was having a good time. It was just like, it's like us having that conversation. And I felt like I was part of that conversation too. Like, it was awesome watching that, you know? So I know this was not no major digital event. They were going to announce like big things in there, but I think the stuff they did talked about, plus having the introduction of all the studios, because there's a whole new audience that has never probably played a Bethesda game, or they don't know much about Bethesda. So this was like a great way to learn about the history, games that they play in the past, maybe little hints of stuff that they've been working on in the future, and how is it having that relationship with Xbox and Bethesda. I think it was awesome. Now, the key thing that I think everybody's going to be talking about was the part where Phil Spencer, it was P. Hines asked Phil straight up, can we talk about this, you know, where everybody's talking about the exclusives? And Paris, Phil Spencer confirmed it there. He confirmed it. There's even quotes from other Xbox employees that they grabbed from Phil, and they're posting it out there. Like, the main key, Paris, we've been saying this back in September, man, when this was announced. This was all about Xbox Game Pass. Having those games there exclusive to the ecosystem, and you could play this on any device. As long as it's Xbox Game Pass, you could play those games. Now, we said this multiple times too. If there's any games that contract with Sony, example like Deathloop, that's a totally different conversation. But we're talking about Starfield, Elder Scrolls, all these new games that's coming out in the future. The key thing, this is going to be Xbox. This is not multi-plat. So your thoughts about all this, man? for you, your point of view.
So yeah, my thoughts on this is, I mean, yeah, dude, this isn't a I told you so moment or anything like that, but it kind of is in this sense that this is what we've been talking about since September, that you do not spend $7.5 billion to keep things the same. So there was going to be some disruption with this deal. And I'm glad that Xbox did address this right away, get the elephant in the room, go ahead and talk about it. Now, was Phil Spencer 100% crystal clear with the answer that he gave? Nah, I'd say about 90%. They left themselves a little bit of wiggle room. But for all intents and purposes, what he told everyone is expect games in the future, Bethesda games in the future, to live where Game Pass lives. It's what I've been talking about from the get-go. This is all about Game Pass. Now, yes, they will honor their legal obligations, contracts, anything that Bethesda already has in place, which he also made clear. But what I took from this, to be, you know, just straight about it, is Starfield is an Xbox exclusive. Go ahead and pencil in The Elder Scrolls 6 to be an Xbox exclusive. Pencil in Fallout 5 to be an Xbox exclusive on down the line. Now, obviously, things like Deathloop, Ghostwire Tokyo will be on PlayStation. They are not going to take away games that already exist on PlayStation or Nintendo. That's staying. But everything moving forward, expect those games to be Xbox exclusives, in the sense that they're going to be in the Xbox ecosystem. They're going to be on Game Pass. You play them on Xbox hardware. You play them on PC. You stream them via xCloud on mobile and TV apps. That's the future of Xbox. That's where this whole partnership with Bethesda is headed. And take exclusives out of it for a minute. I know there's going to be people, I'm sure there's half the population is jumping up and down celebrating. Half the population is upset about this. Been saying this is just a part of business. I don't care about exclusives. I want to be crystal clear on that. I wish games existed everywhere, but this is business. You don't spend that amount of money not to change something. That's all I've been saying. But moving forward, going into the message of what they were trying to purvey during this roundtable, like you said, they were introducing us to all the studios that are under the Bethesda umbrella. But what they were also talking about, which, again, I think is the most important part of this, is the future collaboration that's going to come out of this. The fact that you're going to see, like, that id, that engine, how they were talking about how Machine Games has already been using that for Wolfenstein games, right? Guess what? Now there's going to be other Xbox studios that are going to be able to share that technology, or vice versa. You're going to see, like, obviously the Coalition has been really great with the Unreal Engine, obviously, for Gears, right? Maybe now they can bring that technology over and share their wisdom to other studios at Bethesda. You know, just, you're going to see so much cross promotion now between the 23 studios. That's what's great about this. You're going to get innovation. You're going to get creativity to come out of this. And that's what, as a gamer, you should be excited about. You should be excited about potentially some of the new IPs that are going to happen. You know, they obviously saved it for the very end to talk about, and I'm blanking on the name right now, but the Japanese studio that Bethesda has.
Tango Gameworks?
Yeah, Tango. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. That obviously is very important to them. What did Phil Spencer say? I wanted a first party Japanese studio. Again, key word here, first party. They are treating these studios as a part of Xbox Game Studios, right? This is where they're headed. It's an exciting time in that sense. And I'll just say this, for people that have only been on PlayStation and have had no desire to play games on Xbox, I would say if you obviously want to play Starfield or Elder Scrolls about this, this now is going to not force you, but it's going to make you have to take a second look at what Xbox is doing. And look, I'm not saying Xbox, obviously they still have a lot to prove here, but this is why you spent $7.5 billion again, because you're trying to be disruptive. You're trying to attract people to your ecosystem. What we just saw today, 20 more games have now come to Game Pass from under Bethesda. This is what we're talking about. They're trying to add value to their services and the things that they're doing. So as a gamer, I'm excited because I feel like we are going to start seeing better games come from Bethesda. Like I said before, now Xbox can worry about all the financial overhead. They can worry about when a game needs to release, when you know, everything's going to be fully financed. They're going to help with better QA. Things are going to be more polished. It just helps gaming overall. Now Bethesda doesn't have to try to compete with Xbox and PlayStation, EA, and all these others to make sure that their games get the proper spotlight during the holiday. If, as an example, because I think this was one that really suffered from this whole thing in the past, Dishonored 2, as an example, right? That came out during the holiday and it got buried, but it was an amazing game. Now Xbox can say, hey, Dishonored 3, we don't need you to come out in November. We'll have you come out in May, August, something like that. We're going to give you room to breathe so you can get all the shine that you deserve. Not to mention you're on Game Pass. People can go pick it up and play it whenever they want. It takes away that pressure from Bethesda being their own independent third-party publisher now to now. That's Xbox's problem. That's Microsoft's problem. Now Bethesda and those studios can just make great games. And that's all they got to worry about, you know, and I say this because I tell people, I was saying this before on the Twitter spaces, go back and watch Tim Schafer. Like if you go look on Double Fine, like on their YouTube channel, Tim Schafer has a kind of a behind the scenes video. And he's talking about this, him, Double Fine, that once they were able to join Xbox, it's just so much pressure off of him that he doesn't need to go out and try and raise money to make a game and do Kickstarters and, you know, beg this publisher to, you know, finance this or that or whatever. He doesn't worry about it anymore. He's good. Now he can just focus on making the best games that he wants to make. And that's the whole point here with Bethesda now. Now those guys just get to make great games. Todd Howard can focus on Starfield, Elder Scrolls, you know, Indiana Jones, all that stuff, and just make them the best games that they can be. And as a gamer, you should be excited for that.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the things that Phil said in there, his goal is to get the most, like, he wants these games to be played by the most bigger audience ever for Bethesda. And the key thing is Game Pass, Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Having it on smart TVs, mobile phones, maybe other consoles, if that ever happens in the future. That's like a big, huge maybe. But having it in so many different devices, you don't even need an Xbox Series console to try these out. You have your Samsung phone or in the future your iOS device, Paris, and you go and just start playing Elder Scrolls, Starfield, Fallout, Evil Within, Doom. It's going to be a great time for people to start discovering all these games that they have never played before, man. Exactly. That's the part that I'm so excited about all this, man. You know, so the potential is going to be there, man. And again, I know that people are going to be upset and excited about the exclusive stuff, but just see it as you need competition in gaming so we could win when this decision will be made in the future from all these major companies that's going to benefit us as the consumers. Cheaper games, new services that's going to help us subscribe and discover new games or different ways how we're going to play. That's the part that people don't talk about. They just talk about the whole Sony and Xbox. Yep. And this, mm-hmm, it's beyond that, you know. So but yeah, I think overall it was good. And I have to say, Pete Hines, he is the man hosting. I watched the whole thing. I'm like, okay, he's good. He's a pro in this, man. He's just start doing more of this, man, like in the future for things like this, like roundtables or hosting any digital event in the future for them. Oh, he is the man.
Well, 100%. Hey, I got to take credit for this one. This one I will take 100% credit. Not 100% credit, like it was my idea, yeah. But I did call this on XCast a couple weeks ago. If you go watch it, it's almost creepy. I literally laid out exactly what they did. I was like, if I was Xbox, this is what I would do. And what you're talking about with Pete Hines, I was like, I'd have Phil on there. They'd have a video thing, talk about it with Todd Howard and all that. And then I would turn it over to Pete Hines and let him introduce everyone to the Bethesda family and all that. And that's exactly what they freaking did. And then even Phil Spencer himself tweeted at me during the thing and even said, he was like, I got a good laugh when I heard you say that, because that's exactly what we were doing. So yeah, that was funny. Yeah.
That was really cool. Really, really cool. Yeah, Paris, like what? I know they announced 20 games that's going to be available now, actually tomorrow by the time you listen to this. Bethesda games are going to be available on Xbox Game Pass. And I'm going to keep it real, man. I slept on games like Prey and Dishonored. Now this is an opportunity for me to try it out for the first time. And I know there's going to be people that are probably going to play one of my favorite games from Bethesda, The Evil Within, for the first time. That game is a gem too. So what games are you planning to try out tomorrow once it comes out? Like, well, maybe there got to be something you haven't tried out, are there, right?
Yeah, well, it's like you've been pushing at me about The Evil Within. So now I can, right? So yeah. So there's the opportunity for me to do that. But it's funny. I'm actually just scrolling, looking at the list of 20 games that are coming right now. I've not played Rage 2. So maybe I can go check that one out now because it's on Game Pass. Prey, I have played. I always tell people, definitely go check out Prey. Prey is fantastic. You want to check that out. Now, one that I played back in the day, but I never played it on console, and I'll be interested to see if it gets like a Series X optimization, which actually we got to talk about that for just 1 second, is Wolfenstein The New Order. Because I played Wolfenstein The New Order on PC. I didn't play it on console. So that might be something I might go revisit and jump back in and check out. But speaking of that, you know, Aaron Greenberg, and he was on there, he even talked about that FPS boost to the backwards compatible games. They will be utilizing that for some of these legacy Bethesda titles. And it's like I was saying before, ultimately, now that they basically own all the Bethesda IPs, you can expect, again, as legal contracts and all that start to expire, every back catalog Bethesda game, the past, present, and future of those Bethesda games will be on Game Pass. That's going to happen. So, and then obviously things like with FPS boost, they can optimize things for Series X and S and all that. It's going to bring new life to even some of these older titles like Dishonored. I brought up before, people listen to this. If you've never played Dishonored or Dishonored 2, please go play those games. They are fantastic. Like when you see everyone getting hyped for Deathloop now, because it's the same studio, Arkane Studios. This is why, because Dishonored was the building blocks for what they're going to do with Deathloop, right? So be very excited for that. And yeah, man, I overall, it's, look, I've always liked Bethesda. But what has always been the knock about Bethesda? Man, they got some buggy ass games. That's kind of been my thing. As much as I love Fallout New Vegas, if you played it when it originally came out, it was so buggy when it came out. Just they've been notorious for needing better QA. And I think more than anything, that's my biggest takeaway from all of this, is I feel like they're going to get better QA, better polish, and allowed more time for these games. And we don't have to worry about these games getting buried now because they're forcing certain games to come out during a holiday period or something like that. And they're competing. They can spread these things out throughout the year now. And it gives us as gamers more time to jump in and go play them and don't feel like we're rushing to try and play two or three things at once. And even if you don't have time, guess what? It's on Game Pass. Play it when you want. This is a good thing. And it's like I've said before, this will be a disruptive moment in the gaming industry. I mean, look, for better or worse, because there are negatives to Microsoft acquiring Bethesda and taking them off the board, so to speak. For better or worse, I feel like just from an innovation standpoint, this is a good thing. This could be a bad thing. The fact that there's less competition, so to speak, right? Because now a publisher is now basically taking the majority of their titles exclusive to one platform. So we'll see how this plays out over the next few years and what the ramifications are going to be. But as it sits here today, I do think it's a good thing. I also, shout out to Jeff Grubb, because he basically called all this stuff. Whoever he has on the inside is really giving him some good info. Yeah, Bethesda's going to do a summer event. Now, we don't know if it's 100% completely separate from what Xbox is doing, but I kind of almost think it will be, because Bethesda has so many things to announce. They easily can carry an entire event still, right? Hell, someone tweeted at me when all this was going. It was like, let's call it what it is. Xbox just acquired an entire E3 event. And it's true, because think about
it. True.
Bethesda has had their own E3 events, and now all that's under Xbox. So it'll be interesting this summer to see how they break all this up and how they do it. And but like you said, Danny, I think it's really going to start to sink in for people when, whether it be at Xbox or at an own Bethesda event, like example, Starfield. They show Starfield for the first time, and before they show it, they go world exclusive. You know that's coming. And I think that's when it's going to start to sink into some people that things are about to change. They really are. But let's see how it plays out.
Yeah, you know what? Once I saw the theater, I was like, oh, I know exactly where they're at. Because years ago, this is like when Skyrim was coming out, they had a private event, a media event, where they invited a bunch of like the media outlets, and they had them in that area, in that stage, like the auditorium there, promoting the game. So I was like, oh, that's the same location. That's the headquarters over there, man. So it was cool seeing that, man. Yeah. But I'm just excited to see what's gonna happen. Look, as a fan of Xbox since day one, there's been a lot of struggles back in the early days. Yeah, they had some good, powerful moments, right? You know, we got excited about Rare at that time. It was like a up and down battle with that one, right? Mm-hmm. Because they had some good games and there's some bad ones there. But overall, now, ever since Phil Spencer took over the company, man, it's a totally different game, Paris. Do you remember in 2014 when we had that conversation with Phil? We were like, I like the vibe. I like that they contact us for us to interview Phil. They've been contacting a lot of the community content creators to cover more games on Xbox. The conversation's been changing. Phil, more active on Twitter. Aaron Greenberg, the team are more active on, like, everything has been changing. And this is the mic drop moment. This is the mic drop moment for Xbox, man. And I think this is the perfect thing to do for the 20th anniversary of Xbox, man. I think this is going to change the game for the company 100%. As the owner of a console, of the Xbox console, and also Game Pass, the future is going to be bright, man. It's going to be dope. It's going to be a very exciting time, man.
I completely agree. Completely agree. It is. It really is.
Yeah, for those who are listening, please let us know your thoughts. Are you worried? Are you excited? The good and bad. Please let us know. Hit us up, 76-273-7GTR. That's 76-273-7GTR. And we'll talk about it. We'll play it on the show. And we'll answer your questions and your comments, too. I think that'll be good to hear what the community are saying. Now, Paris, how's it been the feedback from people that been engaging with us on Twitter? Because I've been seeing more of the positive than negatives. Maybe you can have a bigger following. Probably will see more of the negative. But has it been like that for you too, or no?
It's been the vast majority has been pretty positive about that. You're always going to see some negative comments, but I mean that's just a part of it. But I would say the overwhelming majority of people seem pretty positive about this, which again, you should be. If you're a gamer and you love gaming, you should be happy about this, because I think, as I said before, this is going to enable Bethesda to be Bethesda.
Yeah. But there's going to be people, and I'm going to play devil's advocate. They're going to say, but Paris, I don't have an Xbox. I'm not a fan of Xbox. Why I should be excited about this? Because all that is going to be for the Xbox fan, but I'm a Nintendo fan. I'm a PlayStation fan. Why they should be excited too, if you're saying that?
Why am I on trial here? Why are you asking it to me? Like, I put the question right back at you. You answer it.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, it's competition. Competition is going to be good. I think when this competition, there's going to be changes in the gaming industry too. So that audience that are not there, that company wants that audience to be there. So we're going to see the benefits. It could be cheaper pricing for like subscription.
Yeah.
We're probably going to see better games. There's a bunch of things that it will benefit just people that are not fans of Xbox overall. That's how I see it. I see it as that. Competition is great. The reason why we have Game Pass is because of competition.
But see, that's why I did put it out there. There is a negative side to this. You are potentially taking away some major games from people that have no desire to ever invest into Xbox, don't want to play on Xbox, don't want to subscribe to Game Pass. They don't want to do any of that. So at the same time, you got to be conscious about that too. I mean, again, if you're if you're an Xbox guy, they just hit a home run, you should be celebrating, be happy. But if you're not, I can understand some of that frustration. Like I was doing Twitter Spaces yesterday, and it was great to have some people come in with those very concerns and questions. Like, hey, I only play on PlayStation. I like Elder Scrolls. You telling me I'm not going to be able to play that? I don't necessarily know if I want to subscribe to Game Pass. That is a legitimate question and concern. And that's where I think Xbox still needs to do the work to make people that are on the fence or definitely on the other side of the fence that don't want this to happen to make them see that, hey, this potentially could be a good thing, right? You know, there's also the financial aspect of it. Some people can only afford to have one console. If they chose PlayStation, they're screwed. They're not going to be able to play those games potentially. We'll see. But that's also why Xbox needs to have these lower cost options to be able to get into their ecosystem. That's why you have a Series S. That's why, hey, I already got a mobile phone. Maybe I just subscribe to Game Pass and I can play it that way via cloud streaming. So they're giving you other avenues other than to say, well, go buy an Xbox and that's the only way you can play our games. At least there's other ways you'll be able to interact with the game, other than just having to play it on a console. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see how this plays out over the next few years.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to wrap it up almost here. But is there anything else you want to bring up before we head out? I think overall was good. I enjoyed it. It was good. Yeah. And I can't wait to see their plans for summer. I think that's going to be an exciting time to watch other announcements in the future for Xbox. And I still think Starfield, and I hope, fingers crossed, I think that game is coming out this year.
I'm still going to say no. And I'm just going to say because of COVID-19, that's my main reasoning for thinking this, that it just simply may not be ready in time because they're slowed down with game development. Look, if it is, great. I would love to see it. I do think we will see Starfield. I think whatever this summer event is, we will see Starfield at that event. I'm just not confident that they'll launch it this year because I'll also say, I don't think they need to. This goes back to the whole point. Now, if Bethesda was still just Bethesda, I think there may be more urgency to launch it this holiday. But now that that's Microsoft's problem to worry about, they know they got Halo Infinite this holiday. They know they can build all their marketing around the 20-year anniversary of Xbox and Halo. That can push Xbox through the holiday. Now you drop Starfield in the spring when it's ready and it's polished, good to go. Now you got a big major game this spring, next spring, I should say, coming out that people can be excited for as well. So I think there's pluses and minuses to either approach, obviously, but yeah, I just think with COVID-19, people working remote, why rush it if you don't have to? Unless it's truly ready. If it is, great. But if not, don't do it.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see. All right, everyone. We're going to wrap it up here. Thank you so much for listening to our emergency podcast episode. I love doing these. This is like super last minute, you know. But thank you for listening. Episode 1109. Head over to GamerTagRadio.com and post your comments and feedback and listen to our past episodes. And like I said before, you can find us on any podcast app. Just follow us, subscribe. Make sure to also post a review. It will help us out a lot. And if you would like to be part of our family discussion, here's how you can contact us. All right. And this is Danny Pena. You also have here Mr. Paris Lilly. Until next time, thank you for watching. We're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.